And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, October the 14th, 2023, to Season 17, Episode 34. And I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Use phone still, that's fine. There's Discord as well. That works. You can also join us on Twitch, where you can watch us and also join in the chat room with us as well. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can find us on Facebook at In-Game Chat. You can email us everyone at InGameChat.net. All over the place for you. And we're streaming right now, like I said, on Twitch. Go to Twitch.tv, search for In-Game Chat, and you can join in the chat room live while we broadcast. And there you go. First order of business is the clapboard. It wasn't, but then my brain caught up and said it's clapboard. So, second order of business. I'm still banned. There was a thing that happened this week.
Yeah.
Where Bungie was unbanning a bunch of people because, oops, we made a boo-boo. We made a mistake. And here's $45 of in-game currency, I think is what it was, 45 or 50. And you're unbanned. Sorry. I don't know what the time frame was on like when the bans happened and then when they unbanned those people. In other words, I don't know when that wave happened.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I was involved in that wave.
Yeah.
But if I was, I haven't gotten my email yet, mm-hmm. and I have not been unbanned from the game. I was wondering, you know, my clan guys, you know, they hit me up immediately when that happened. Said, hey, check your email. And boy, that night I was refreshing that email so much. But no, I got nothing. Only for the fact that I was really curious. It's like, oh, okay. Like, if I got that email, I may not join back up on Destiny. But for me, it was more of a sense of it was a mistake then, you know?
Yeah.
It would help me to think it was. So there wasn't, you know, I don't know. But I did not get any. I didn't get any email.
Yeah.
And according, now I've already uninstalled the game, but according to my Steam profile, I'm still banned.
It still says you're banned.
Yeah, still says I have one game ban. It's been like 30 something days. I've thought about throwing in another appeal, just a follow up appeal, you know, and maybe do that once every 30 days. But there is going to be some point where I don't, and even then I haven't reapplied the appeal or reappealed. I don't know, whatever you would call it. I haven't
resubmitted an appeal.
Yeah, I haven't resubmitted. Yeah, it's a longer way of saying what I was trying to say in shorter ways. But I haven't resubmitted that. And I don't know that I will. I think the only time I think about it, I kind of just don't get up and do it, you know?
Yeah. I think you've said before that given enough time being banned, it'll eventually just the priority of getting it back, it will be just get lower.
I mean,
lower,
I think
lower.
It's already gone. I really do. I've already, this season's already shot. If I'm gonna, I mean, I'm missing the, well, I think Festival of the Lost starts this week, but I'll be missing that, which is their Halloween event, which is okay. Mm-hmm. I don't follow it as much anymore. The things like this with the unbanning stuff, sure. The time when they were having DDoS attacks, sure. The other time, which wasn't too long after I got banned, there was some situation going on in the game where you could, well, we talked about it, where you mm-hmm. could craft weapons that were not supposed to ever, you're not supposed to put a shotgun frame on an assault rifle. Mm-hmm. Or let's take it the other way, put an assault rifle frame on a shotgun. Mm-hmm. You were never supposed to do that, but people were, because there was a big glitch going on with that. Nobody was getting banned for it. These bans that went out that they are now overturning, I have no idea what they were for. I don't know if it was a trials thing. It happened in trials. I don't know if it happened. I don't know. I don't know what the case was. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was something based on the, not the exploit, but the glitch that was going on with the weapon crafting. Mm-hmm. No idea. And they are not saying anything either. It's kind
of course not.
It kind of sucks, man.
Yeah.
Like, you get the email saying, hey, we banned you by mistake. We're sorry. Here's your account back. Here's some compensation. Rather than saying, hey, we banned you by mistake because we were getting... this thing was telling us that you were doing this, you know,
mm-hmm.
but we realized you weren't. They don't say any of that. They just said, oh, mistake, you're reinstated. That's it. You know, and I'm almost positive if I got reinstated, even with reappeals or something like that, I'd never get a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd never get anything back from them saying that, yeah, we thought you were doing this, but it turns out you actually weren't. And we're still working on trying to get our software, you know, tweaked better, I guess, or whatever the case may be.
What company wants to admit that?
I know.
Yeah.
The weird thing, and man, I don't know, I am trying to do better with my brain and the way that I express
mm-hmm.
and the way that I go on tangents and random. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to do that. When I read the rules or whatever, when I read their documentation about being banned,
mm-hmm.
it says that if you get banned for game exploitation or for whatever the case may be, if you get banned, not suspended, banned, permanently banned from the game, it is because our cheat detection software or whatever it is, that BattleEye thing, has noticed something and alerted to us, and then we have investigated and decided that, yep, that, you know, we're banning you.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a wave of bans and then you go on back, then obviously there's no way that you looked into this. You know,
no.
I can't see how that rule was followed, that their software detected bannable offenses and then humans looked at those offenses and said, yeah, that's correct.
They didn't look.
And that, right. That's yeah. my guess.
It was 5 minutes to closing and they had 40 accounts they had to look at. And they just said, forget this. Yes, ban on all of them. And then went home for the day.
That's what I think. That's my thinking on it. Which is why I'm thinking that, you know, I whatever happened to me probably was not something that was looked into. It was probably just their software saying, oh, you've been banned. And then me appealing, and they're like, our software says you're banned. You're staying banned.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to look into this. We can't look into everyone. I not to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I will, but the amount of people playing the game, and also likely the amount of people who this software detects as having some sort of bannable offense
mm-hmm.
to where it automatically does it, they don't have the people to go through that. And I don't know how it triggers in such a way that they recognize this as being a mistake, other than maybe it hitting somebody who had some pull and said, you guys just banned me. And then they said, oh, wait, we see here. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Streamer.
It's not the number of people banned, it's who you banned.
It's who you banned.
It's who you banned, yeah.
Something.
Because that gets out, and news right. comes out, and now you're going to get looked at funny.
Something along those lines must have happened. I say that. Again, we'll never know. They'll never say.
Mm-mm.
They'll just say that we're trying to work on our software and make it better, and okay. But
the lip service, basically. Yeah. Yeah. We get it.
So that was me... that was me just getting that out of the way. That was the second order of business. Third order of business is, what'd you play, RJ?
Well, besides the basics of Virtua Fighter 5 and MLB The Show, I played a bit of Warframe, helping a friend of mine clear out Neptune on his account.
Okay.
So we got together, and I was able to level up some stuff and help him along, basically what I was there for anyway.
Neptune an early area of the game, or
not really? I mean, you have to go through a bunch of planets to get there. But we're trying to make our way to the entire solar system.
Yeah,
and we've gotten to an area where we want to get to the Railjack. There's a section of games where you have to go with the Railjack, and unfortunately, there's a mission that we were stuck on last time we tried. It was months ago, but I still remember we got wiped out because we had to like control a certain area of the map. And we tried to split up and do it. Didn't work. We tried to get together and do it. Didn't work. So we figured we just have to level up more to get this mission done so we can use the Railjack. But we haven't got together yet because he's still trying to level up some other characters. So we're going to prioritize that. And then eventually we'll get back to try that mission out so we can keep going with the story of the game. Other than that, I played a bit of Descenders. A little change of pace. A little mountain biking. More crashing into trees at 60 miles an hour. That was that's always fun.
Sounds like it.
Oh yeah, you ought to hear the sound of it too. It's a pretty unique sound. Hitting a tree at that speed. It's the sudden stop that generates.
Seems like that'd be fun in VR.
Well, there's a first person view, so that is an option. But yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. It's Descenders is a if no one's ever heard of it, a Unity based game. Where they just made,
we got some news about that too.
More Unity news, right? Yeah, but they just made a little mountain biking game, and you have to go to this certain area of a map where you have to do these series of races, and you get about six or seven of them if you go the quick route, and you get to a boss track basically. There's basically some stunt or some speed record you have to do to beat the course. In my case, it was jumping over a train. And I had to backflip it to qualify for completing the stunt. So doing that, we're trying to get some progress in that game. And gives you a little incentive to do so. You get little trinkets and things to put on your rider, better bikes, better gear, better equipment, things of that nature. So had a little fun playing with that.
What's the Flash game I used to play where you were on a bike? You're on not a motorbike. You're on like a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Usually there was like a little kid in the back, and you had to pedal, and there was Happy Wheels, that's what it was.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which reminds me of Happy Tree Friends for some reason, but yeah, Happy Wheels.
Yeah, wasn't unhappy about the fails.
No. That was the best part. All the creative ways to really hurt yourself. And then when you would hurt yourself, there's like little intestines and things like that.
Yeah.
It was all kinds of just, but I, you know, just extreme painful stuff in a video game, basically, is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. I remember that. Yeah. Anyway, I have played Cyberpunk. That's all.
Mm.
I don't know. I go home. I get on the elliptical. I exercise. And lately, it's been kind of late like that. And then afterwards, I try to play, but I try to get off the PC by 6. Mm-hmm. During the week, and by the time I get around to like, hey, I can fire up a game, Cyberpunk ain't a game I'm really wanting to fire up with the limited amount of time that I have to play it.
Because it's a time sink. Yes, it
is.
You
know, I say it's a time sink, but it's at least, I need more time than that to like sink some teeth into it, you know, for just to sit down and play it.
Yeah.
So,
it's going to be multiple hours when you play a game like that, man.
Usually
it's a story-based game, so yeah.
Fire up Marvel Snap and play a round or two to get through that on my PC. So that goes through the time. But I did get up this morning and I did play Cyberpunk, but I'm still early.
Mm-hmm.
I went to go get the what was it? The bot, the flathead. This is early.
Oh, okay, you're still prepping for the big.
The big
ones, yeah. You're still prepping, and you had to deal with those some shady characters to get this piece of equipment.
Yeah, I did my first. Did they call it BD? Brain dive. Brain dive. Yeah, something,
yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah, something.
I'm so glad I remember these things. Oh, my brain needs to hold the information. But yes, I did my first one of I did the tutorial of it, which was very much the Batman detective mode from Arkham Origins, I think it was.
Yeah, something like that.
Remember in Origins where you could play the video and then you could stop and like investigate whatever it was.
Yeah, I think about that movie a while back, The Sixth Day, with Robin Williams. You ever heard of that one?
I want to say
basically looking at people's footage of their life history. And he's looking at the footage and shaping mm-hmm. it for presentation, basically. Yeah,
right.
That's what I thought about my first time going through a brain dive in that game.
Yeah, what was it? There was another one. I think Capcom did a game called Remember Me.
Yeah, Remember Me.
That had
a bunch of Street Fighter moves in there.
It also had like the memory thing or mm-hmm. the whatever that you could go through and see it from different angles and all this other stuff.
So. I'm trying to remember if the main character had amnesia or she had to get her.
It's going back a ways. I don't remember.
Yeah,
I remember the gimmick, but I don't necessarily remember the setup.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember the gimmick. Very Minority Report-ish.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
If you can remember that film.
I remember the film.
Yeah.
Never saw it, but I know of it.
Really like that movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been one I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
Really liked it. I did that this morning. I started the, I got the bot and, you know, and everything, of course, went wrong.
Haywire.
You know. It'd be interesting to see how that actually plays out if I had made some other choices, because I gave them the money, the credit card, whatever the thing's called.
Mm-hmm.
The money thing. I gave that to, I'm forgetting his name. I think it starts with an R. He's the big guy that I'm buying this bot from. Like I'm trying to do a deal with one of his lackeys, right? And then he gets very upset and comes at me and puts the gun to my head and is like, we're going to do this. And you got to kind of talk your way. And eventually.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the guy's name, but the guy, you're dealing with a lackey.
Yeah.
And the big boss is behind the wall or the door or something, listening in or something. And when things get really heated,
he comes out
and then guns are involved pointing at your head. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and eventually
you got a standoff at this
we
point.
We got to a standoff and mm-hmm. then I gave the money, but I had other choices that I could have gone with there before giving, or at least without giving him that money.
Yeah, I think there was something involved with
which more
Meredith,
than like
if you had a certain conversation with Meredith, the CEO of a Militech.
Yeah,
I think there was an option that popped up if you talked with her.
Right, I did talk with her, and she had given me the money to buy the bot
with the virus, I think, installed.
But a virus, because I'd given it to dude, he put it in, and it did a virus, and everything went.
Yeah,
that's when everything broke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering though, in all the dialogue choices that you have, do they all end up at that point, or is there a way to get through that clean, to where I get what I want, and everybody's alive?
I want to say there's a way to intimidate the dude, but I can't.
But because
recall.
It's so early in the game, I feel like they're still walking me through.
Yeah,
which feels like you probably get to that same situation regardless.
Yeah,
you get to the same outcome regardless because mm-hmm. they want you to be in combat more or to try other things. Especially now that you've been able to unlock perks and use more hacks and do all this other stuff,
mm-hmm.
I figure they want to put you in that scenario, especially in one that has lots of options.
Yeah.
For you to maneuver with.
I think there is something about you can either talk your way out of it, use the virus, and then something else, but I can't recall clearly, but I think one of them for sure is talking your way out of it or intimidating your way out of it.
It seems like that entire interior that we go into is built for the outcome that I got, which is a gunfight.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you notice that a lot when you play a lot of games, especially in the single player genre. You play a lot of games, you'll come across an area and you can look around and be like, we're gonna fight in this area. It's like, there's ammo and health over here. There's a bunch of barricades. It's like,
Dark Souls and the Soul series does that. You get to a certain areas, and you're just like, wow, this is really pretty. This looks like an area that a boss would have show up in.
Mm-hmm.
You get used to it after. You start to recognize things after a while.
Yeah, Uncharted did that a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because Uncharted, a lot of times in Uncharted, it had you going into a cave and then having to go out of that cave. And going into the cave, because supposedly nobody else has ever been in this cave. It's a little strange because there's
candles.
Game logic is not really great. But, we go into this cave. We're like, either the treasure's there or the treasure's gone. And it's mm-hmm. like, we have a clue to something else. So let's leave. And as you leave, that's when, the mercenaries are here. But everything is nice and set up to provide cover. But you see that going in.
Yeah.
It's like, be prepared for the fun afterwards.
So basically, if the scenery is good enough to be a desktop on your PC or whatever, that's a
boss
fight.
Yeah, because my habit in both Starfield and in Cyberpunk is to use whatever it's tab on my keyboard, which is like the thing that'll let me scan.
Mm-hmm.
So I can, I can scan the identity of a person, I can scan a door, I can scan the cameras, I can scan any electronics and either hack those electronics or whatever. I can hit that button and it'll tell me within a good vicinity of what's there. Maybe a loot crate, a chest to open up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's money. Maybe what I really use it for right now is for finding little data things to read.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I go through now, and I sit there and read those, and there's a lot to read. Reminds me of The Witcher in that way. Mm-hmm. But there's a ton to read with those. I don't know that they helped me out. I don't know. I mean, they've given me some backstory, but I don't necessarily know that there's any benefit to it other than filling in gaps. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that I'm going to read one and it's going to say, they're really susceptible to fire. So, something like that. Or here's the code for the combination lock. Yeah. I don't think that's going to be the case for most of them, not all of them.
Yeah, things like that, you think it's like pretty much pointless unless you're in the middle of a side quest or something that has you specifically going after the record that someone left behind.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, more times than not, it's just basically filler material, just file away somewhere.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't have to save or anything or refer to it for something else.
We may come back to this later on in the show. Yeah, okay. But I do want to mention that Steam Next Fest is going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's no theme to it.
Just another big sale?
It's just it's not sale. It's a bunch of demos.
Okay.
Talos Principle is there for you to demo.
Oh,
there's
okay.
a bunch, Talos Principle 2, I mean. There's a bunch of demos that are out there now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going on, I think, through the 16th, which is Monday. So go in there and download demos that you might be interested of games that you might want to play and, and do that. I've downloaded a bunch. I don't remember what they are, but I've downloaded a bunch, and I'll probably hit those up tomorrow to get some time in with them. Speaking of time, we're at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to take a break here. This is music from, it's Halloween, of course. Well, it's October, so we're going to do, it's all spooky music. This is from Beyond Good and Evil. It is stealth music for the game. We'll be right back, and we'll take your calls coming up on In-Game Chat. Back into In-Game Chat. Music here from Rayman Origins. Not really what you would call spooky game, but it's got spooky music in it. This is called The Abyss from that game. AC Wraith says there is a Pinball M demo right now, which apparently is Zen Studios' mature line. I didn't know that they had something like that, but I'll be interested to see what that means, what that does. I don't understand mature pinball, especially given that we've already had Bride of Pinbot, which was at the time and likely maybe still is a little bit on the, you know, what's the term? What's the word? I have a hard time coming up with words that I know in my head what it, not even scandalous, but salacious maybe?
Mm.
Provocative, perhaps? I'm not sure. But it's a...
Stimulating.
Yeah. It's a table that was made back in, early 80s, I think. Early to mid-80s. Bride of Pinbot. So, curious what that is. Pinball M. Hey, let's go to the phones, because we haven't talked to him in, I don't know how long now. It's Chris. What's up, Chris?
What's going?
Not much, man. I'm trying to get your phone fixed again here, or whatever. But, go ahead. What's up? What's been going on?
Just curious what y'all been doing last week.
Since last week, I mean, yeah, it's just been cyberpunk for me, and it's been a fighting game here, GTA Online or Warframe for RJ there.
Standard fare.
Yeah.
Mostly baseball, though.
And yeah, the show. Forgot about the show. And I would say standard for me as well, because I don't play Destiny anymore.
Yeah.
What about you?
Pretty much the same. Been watching a bunch of anime on one of the streaming apps.
Yeah, I'm trying. Your phone's really. I don't know what's going on, man. We're back to square one on your phone again.
Yeah.
That's really weird. I don't know why it's doing that.
Is it on the cordless phone or is that something else, Chris?
It's through the internet.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's doing that.
Mm.
Last time you called, it was not doing this.
Yeah.
It's been a while since it's actually been this bad, but it's not doing too great right now.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know, man. I don't know. What have you been playing? Have you been playing anything? You went on vacation, right? You went out of town.
Oh, yeah. I haven't played that very much since then, but. Taylor, I want to call back on my cell phone.
The phone's really messy. You going to call back?
Yeah, I want to call back.
Okay.
Okay.
Hopefully it works better.
Yeah.
Chris is going to call us back. So, yeah. God. That's, I don't know why he was doing that.
Mm.
Thar66 says no Starfield. I guess he was talking about me. No, I haven't played any Starfield. I think I was going to try and go back and forth, but... I'm really, really stuck into that cyberpunk universe.
You've got two time sync level games on your roster,
and I'm
right
perfectly
now.
Fine having that. I'm about to have a third coming up with City Skylines, but
It's going to be hard to not do what you did with Last of Us 2. If you have multiple story based games in there.
Well, luckily I'm not far into Starfield. I feel like I'm okay to kind of break at that point. I mean, I put a lot of time into it, but I'm really not far into it.
Mm-hmm.
You
have spent a lot of time on the main storyline.
No, not at all. And with City Skylines, that is one that I can just fire up and, you know. I'm going to build this neighborhood over here. No. I'm just saying, like, when I've only got 30 minutes or when I've only got 20 minutes, fire up cities, look around, maybe change taxes or move the waste facility plant or, you know, different things like that.
Okay, so what's the meat and potatoes of the game? Is it going to be the actual building of the town or the management, which is a more time-consuming task in that game?
Getting started is probably the most time-consuming.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you have to start... unless you're doing, and I have no idea, I imagine they do have these, but unless you're doing a scenario thing where it's like, hey, we're going to start you off with a city this big and it's doing this thing and you've got to increase the education to this. You've got to increase the income of your citizens to this. You've got to increase the income of the city to that, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll give you scenarios and then goals within that scenario to follow. I usually don't do that. I usually just start out with, I'm going to build a city, you know, and the time sink in that is building the city. Which, you know, but that's something that when you start, you'll get a good set of, you'll have your residential, you'll have your commercial districts, you'll have your industrial districts, you will have, you know, waste set up and police and all these different city services things that you have to do. That can be done over time. I mean, it's not something that feels like it has to be done right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can get up to a certain point and say, okay, I'm going to work on my electricity tomorrow, you know, and log in and just work on the electricity side of things if I feel like doing that. Or if I don't, then I'll work on the waste management side of things, or I'll work on the water pollution. Or maybe I'll, you know, put in an airport and work on transportation, you know, different little things to do that. Or maybe I'll look, and there's so much stuff, so many stats. Maybe I'll look at my stats of citizen happiness or education, like I mentioned before, and say, okay, I need to, see what we can tweak here, tweak there to get our, maybe raise the taxes or lower taxes. Just little things to tweak around and mess with just for the little bit that I may have time to do. Mm-hmm. So it's one that I can pop in for a few minutes and then pop back out if I'm good. Mm. The problem with that is I have to, oh, there he is. He's on the internet now. The problem with that is that I have to know when to stop. You know, it's not a time sink. Mm-hmm. I just have to know that, all right, man, 6 o'clock now, save and stop. Oh, but let me just one more thing, you know, kind of civilization-ish. Mm-hmm. Maybe one more turn.
Nope, time sink.
Right, exactly.
Nope, it's time sink, yeah.
It can turn into that. It can turn.
That's why I said lose a day.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, are you there on the Discords?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Much better. Oh, God.
Yeah, the cell phone connection was having the same interference on my side, so I decided to just skip everything and just hang up and do through this way.
Weird. But yep. I'm glad you're here, and you sound fantastic through Discord, so that's great. What's been going on? You went on a vacation thing and saw some trains, I saw.
Oh, yeah. Last week and over the long holiday, since we had Monday off, I decided we'd go back up to Bryson City, North Carolina, and they had one of the Seamline railroads there, and which was so funny from the last vacation a couple months back or so. We drove right beside the city and along right through the path where it was, and I didn't even know it was there.
So you went back.
We ended up looking up and said, oh, we just passed by. There was a Great Smoky Mountain Railroad. We just went right past that, and drove right by the city and the actual rail line where the train traveled. And I was looking out the window there on the way through there, and I said, oh, that looks pretty. That would be a nice train trip right beside there. But it looks like the railroad tracks has been well kept up. And lo and behold, it was a tourist railroad the whole time.
There's a reason for that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Yeah, we found out it's only like a 6-hour drive from here, from there to the house. So we planned a trip and went back. But of course, the cold front came through over that weekend as well. And I had booked open air cars on the train trip. So we're out in the open.
Oh, God. And,
yeah, I had my hoodie and my knitted jacket on. And it was over my head pretty much the whole morning.
I would imagine
trip.
So.
That doesn't sound like that was enough.
Probably not.
It's 58 degrees at about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Man.
And the next day on Sunday was even colder, and we were glad we rode it the day before.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Did you take any? Did you take a Switch with you? Did you take anything with you to play while you were on the trip? No game. He leaves it all behind when he goes on. He's roughing it.
I mean, we only had like one day to do that and, you know, just mess around and go exploring and go looking at flea markets and stuff. And I said, I'm not going to have any time to do that. I'll just take my cell phone and watch YouTube videos and this and that. And I'd be plenty of time. And that's exactly what happened. I had plenty of stuff to do besides that.
I know. Same thing here. I didn't, you know, I haven't brought my Switch here in a while, mainly because I think even when I'm at home and I'm thinking, I'll bring my Switch because I'll have some time. No, I don't. So I totally get it. Well, what are you looking forward to playing then, now that you're back?
Well, speaking of which, I've been watching some anime and stuff. And then while I was listening to y'all a moment ago and taking a break from that, I was looking at the PlayStation sale and everything and discovered there was an expansion to one of the games I'd played in the past. You know, I think it's probably about a year ago. It's called Dismantle. It's like an overhead zombie survival you know, where you break up everything in the environment and use the crafting materials to upgrade your weapons and stuff, you know, to build and, you know, upgrade your stats with.
I know what you're talking about,
So then I saw it was on sale for like $4 for the add-on. And I'm like, yeah, I gotta get into that. I gotta have that one because I enjoy that game really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you found something. I haven't looked through that sale to see if there's anything, but and I don't really think there is. There's not much on PlayStation that I'm kind of looking for right now.
Yeah, I'll just go through a sale every now and then, just scan through the first rows, the dozens, well, mm-hmm. a few dozen rows, actually, and just look and see if anything catches my eye. Just sort it by newest first and go that route. But then again, if I do it that way, like Chris said, an older title has an update.
It's going to be down further on the list.
It's way further down the list that you're not going to see. So unless you look at the game directly, you won't see. You're probably not going to see the updates or upgrades for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes I often go through the store and this looks interesting. I'll just mark it and then leave it alone. And then sometimes it'll come up for sale later on, and then I'll eventually get it later when it's cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a few titles do that before. Normally like $20, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's $7.
Hmm.
So I pull the trigger on it. Pick it up.
You can
go for it from then.
Definitely.
But then you got the add-ons that'll boost it up as well. So you get somewhat of a discount, but a small discount's better than none at all.
Well, now that you're back, in town, Chris, hope you get some gaming in and stay warm, I guess.
Very.
Sunday morning, the next day, it was in the 30s, the high 30s that morning.
Jeez. And you were out on a train?
Oh, no. Getting ready. We went to town that morning to go get some breakfast, and it was like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning.
Because if you were on that, it would have been, oh, God.
It would have been a whole lot worse. And, that we rode it on Saturday, but, by the time we got on the train, it was about 58 degrees that morning, and then it was going to get to a high of 61 around 2 or 3 in the afternoon. But, yeah, it wasn't too bad, but it was just a little bit too chilly for all of us. But, we luckily looked at the forecast ahead of time and packed and prepared in time, before we actually got on the train that time.
Hmm. Well, it's good to have you back and calling in. Because has it just been a week or has it been 2 weeks?
It's just been 1 week. I forgot to call you out last time, but, things happened. I got carried away and we're enjoying our time with my parents and all. So, you never know. But I was just kind of curious what had happened last week, but pretty much the same as always, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
Not a lot different there.
And nothing different but the news, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping you'd hear something about the Destiny, but from what you said so far,
nothing.
Not going to happen, is it?
I don't think it will.
Most likely not.
And if it does now, it's too little too late for me. So I think it's done. I would jump into Final Shape if I did get unbanned, possibly, but I don't really see that happening at all. So, but we appreciate hearing from you, man, and we hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you next Saturday. All right.
All right, y'all have a good one. See y'all later.
Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
Yeah,
that sounds much better on the Discord.
Yeah. A quick thing about banning. A buddy of mine was talking about his ban on Elden Ring.
Yeah?
It was like they unbanned him, right?
Oh, he did get unbanned.
He got unbanned.
We talked about this out in the parking lot, right?
He got banned, and then...
But we didn't talk about his being unbanned.
He got unbanned. Okay. Because he told me recently he got unbanned, and then he got banned again. Before he even started playing. And he actually got in touch with the folks, and they said it was probably a corrupted file because the transfer from one system to another probably did something to his file and, I guess, raised a flag or something.
Oh, really. Great.
So, yeah, nothing he did. But
is he okay now? Did they unban him again? You said he got in touch with somebody.
I don't know if he got unbanned again, but it was funny that he got unbanned and then very shortly after that banned again.
Mm-hmm.
Soon as. I mean, not even time to do anything. Be banned for. But nope, just said nope. You're banned again. So it probably goes back to that auto ban thing, and then someone checks it out later. But
yeah,
maybe that was the case.
Just to get some quick news in, PlayStation Plus October says, what do you get? Where are you hearing this?
I want to say Weird West. Weird West and another title that I saw. Farming Simulator 2022, I think. That was available on PS4.
Yeah, I'm looking here. What is this then that I have? Let's see. PlayStation Plus October leak. Another month, another set of PlayStation Plus leaks, this time for the titles that you'll be able to play at the extra tier. I'm sorry, that is not that is not us. Yep. Or at least not. Yeah.
That's what I got on the basic tier.
Right.
Weird West and Farming Simulator 2022 PS4 and PS5.
So then this was, I usually only stick with the basic tier,
the basics will get you online, so that's really all that matters.
If you up it from that, you're getting games that rotate in and out, rather than like here's your new games this month, here's your new games this month, and it's only like three or four, you know, with the basic. With the other one, it's a constant rotation of here's what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, for free stuff, remember if you're an Amazon Prime member, you have free games. Every single month, there are free games for you. Mm-hmm. If you link your account, whether it be an Ubisoft account, whether it be a Bungie account, there's all kinds of different accounts that you can link to that Twitch profile or whatever it is for Prime Gaming and get a lot of free stuff.
Amazon Prime also lets you get free stuff in Warframe as well.
Yeah,
free frames, free gear, all types of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, there's the free downloadables or the free in-game content, but there's also free games themselves.
Yeah,
that you can also activate as well. I'm trying to remember what this month was. I thought it was a pretty big deal, whatever it was, but now I'm drawing a blank and I can't remember what it was. So there's the Amazon. There is the PlayStation Plus basic tier. You get four free games or three or four. Is it three now?
It was two last time I checked on basic, but. Probably something bigger than that. Well, higher tiers anyway.
Okay, it's three if you have a PS5.
Okay.
Because there's always one PS5 title that comes, and then there's two titles after that. I think two PS4 titles. So two to three games free on that. Obviously, Game Pass subscription gets you a lot of games to to mess around with. What's another one that has free games? Epic Games. Epic Game Store.
Okay.
That's on PC. You go and you make an account, and every Thursday, there's usually two free games that are available to you.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I'm so sorry. Two free games available to you for Epic Games, and there is another one. Sometimes GOG gives some free games, good old games. They sometimes have some free games as well. Ubisoft used to do some free games, especially as we get closer to the holidays. A lot of these services are going to do sales, and a lot of those sales will involve free titles.
Speaking of holidays, I didn't even think about Black Friday. We haven't had any leaks or anything like that
yet? I got
yet?
Nothing on Black Friday
nothing
yet.
Nothing yet?
Okay. No. It's, you probably won't hit that until last week of October. I know at one point it took a while before we got it. Like, it was real close. Before we got the list of, and a good list. And, you know, something to think about. That, I don't know what's going to happen with that list after next year. Because Best Buy has decided to stop selling physical media at the end of 2024. Or it may have been at one of the quarters of 2024, so it may not even make it to next Christmas.
No.
But they have decided to stop selling physical media. I don't know if that's like in-store or if it's online, too. I believe it is both. I think it's in-store and online. They have stopped selling physical media.
Well, someone else will. So.
Well, I mean, there's still Target. There's still Amazon. There's still your mom-and-pop shops. There's still GameStop. There's still Walmart. There's still, you know, there's still plenty of places that do it, and Amazon as well.
Yeah.
But when you take that, we've talked about this. Physical, so PC titles usually don't get a good discount unless it's a Steam sale. In other words, when Black Friday rolls around and we're looking at titles on our spreadsheet and we look down to, I don't know, we'll say Assassin's Creed Mirage, the thing that just came out. Assassin's Creed's there. And it's like, here, it is going to be this price at Target, at Amazon, at Best Buy. It's going to be this price at those places for Xbox, PlayStation, you know, Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5 or whatever the case. PC is rarely, rarely involved in there.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't do it. So there's that aspect. Then there's the aspect of physical media will get the discount. Digital media will not.
Mm.
Or will not get as much.
Mm.
Because the stores make less, I believe, on the digital part of it than they do on the physical. Which is odd to think that Best Buy would say, okay, yeah, we're going to switch to... we're going to switch to digital media, even though you would make more money off the physical. But if people aren't buying the physical, then I guess you are losing money to have all that extra stock there that nobody's picking up. I don't know. Interesting thought. Matt O'Brien says he thinks the hum is back, and I am sad about that. I don't know where it would be from or how. I'm looking over my... my board here to see what
we haven't changed anything. We haven't changed anything.
We really haven't. Although I will say they have been messing around in this room for quite some time, looking for hums. This microphone is not. I don't know if this microphone works or not. I don't think it does. We'll test. It does not. You hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That microphone does not work. In fact, let me turn all of that off, and maybe that helps. I don't know. So. Anyway, we are coming up on the top of the hour here, and our track is only 30 seconds long, so we need to talk all the way to the top of the hour for the most part.
Okay.
I was going to let music play us out, but it's only 30 seconds of music to play, so we won't do that. We are still working on the spreadsheet for the Black Friday stuff, mainly because we don't have anything yet for that. It'll go over the same situation. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know how great the deals are going to be.
That's the concern I'm looking at. How big are these deals going to be? Because I think they're at the point where they believe that people are coming out regardless, so we can try to get as much as we can out of the folks doing so.
Given the reception to Assassin's Creed Mirage, I think you'll see that on sale.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good sale. It just released last week, or a week before last, I think. Last week. And yeah, it's the more time you put between a Ubisoft release and a Black Friday sale, the bigger chance it has for it to go on sale.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've seen it where Assassin's Creed is released at the beginning of November and is still drop down to like a $30 price tag on Black Friday.
Yeah, half off.
Yeah. So something that released in October, also that is not received too well, I think you'll see a massive drop.
I don't think it'll be half off, though.
I think it'll be half.
Okay.
I'll take that bet.
It's 70 now. It's 70 now, right?
I think maybe 60.
60? Oh, yeah. 70 on the...
maybe.
Current consoles, whatever.
I'm not sure. I'm actually not sure. I haven't looked at it to see what the price is.
50. If it's 70 on the current consoles, I'd say it would drop to 50.
All right, you're going 50. I think it'll go half.
Okay.
I think it'll drop at least half. It might go more, but anyway. We are at the top of the hour here. So we are going to take a break. This is from this goes back to your Miis on your Wiis and stuff, you know? There were these little games, I think on your 3DS you could play, where you could, it was like you and a group of your friends as your Miis that were going through like a little dungeon crawler thing and whatever else. Anyway, it's from Miitopia. It's called Origin of the Curse. It's only like 30 seconds. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. This is the catacombs of a game called Creepy Castle. I love these little... I love when we get to do this. So great. That album I mentioned, the High Moon Studios or something, whatever it was, the one I talked about last week, they did send a copy of that. So I think next week we'll be hearing some of the tracks from that. It's a very short track list. I think it was only like six tracks or so.
Yeah, 6 or 7 tracks.
So
yeah.
we'll be featuring that on next week's show. So anyway, let's look at the news as far as what's going on this week. For one, the whole Microsoft Activision thing is now done. 1 year, 8 months, and 26 days later, Microsoft finally owns Activision Blizzard. They announced on January 18th of 2022, and finally, the deal closed on Friday, October the 13th, 2023. And we will start seeing games hit Game Pass from those acquisition, from that acquisition, beginning next year. So, but yeah, deal was finalized. It was done. There's a whole timeline that IGN has that starts from the beginning and then just goes with all the different things. How it took them, because we just said it took them 1 year and 8 months, almost 2 years, to seal the deal on this thing.
All that opposition that came from it,
So, yeah, but now it's done and we should be seeing games soon. Bobby Kotick of Activision Blizzard will remain CEO through the rest of the year. He did a, they had a weird thing at Activision, a meeting. Days before, it was earlier this week, so it was before they closed the deal on the 13th. Activision Blizzard brought all of its employees together for an all-hands meeting. And I don't exactly know why, but they had James Corden there, which is already a bad sign. But yeah, he was there to host this meeting. And a lot of people are like, we don't understand that. It's possible that Bobby thought his employees would be excited for a celebrity appearance at an all-hands meeting. Corden reportedly asked Bobby how Activision Blizzard will keep its culture, which Bobby described as magic. Oh, this is bad. God. He said, Microsoft is interested in the company's magic, according to reports. I think a lot of Activision's motivation is that we have these enormous communities of players of 400 million people in 190 countries around the world who are engaged every single day. I think people at Activision feel this incredible sense of responsibility to deliver for their players. So I think that's the recognition and that appreciation that the focus will be rewarded in the joy of hundreds of millions of people. Boy, if that doesn't sound like proper corporate crap.
101.
Right? From the book of corporate crap, here is chapter one. And that's what it seems. Let's see. They also discuss the future of gaming, including machine learning, AI, virtual reality, even that brain implant Neuralink thing that Musk is working on. He also pointed to the future of gaming becoming more accessible with technologies like DLSS. The accessibility, it's going to come from less and less expensive processing that will be more widely available. Yada, yada, yada. He also hinted that Guitar Hero could make a reemergence, made possible with the resources that Microsoft have. A big part of what I've seen in Microsoft is research, he said, and they do development in areas that are extraordinary. And so being able to tap into their AI and machine learning capability, the data analytics, new ways of thinking about graphics, I just see unlimited potential for what we do. We're uniquely situated as a company because we have the very best franchises in all of video games. again, chapter 2 of the Book of Corporate Crap. he is going to receive a $293 million severance package when he leaves at the end of... let's see, what does it say? It says fiscal year. The end of 2023 fiscal year, which... That's this month, I thought. Doesn't it end in October?
Usually
it's
October.
March?
Fiscal years.
Yeah, fiscal year is October.
Yeah.
So maybe. But yeah. Yeah, whatever. He's still there and that's fine. He's going away. He's getting a lot of money and he's going away.
Maybe.
I hope we never hear from him again. We will hear from him again.
He will
eventually, for whatever reason. Somebody, some company is going to be like, we got to get him on the staff.
Exactly.
Hey, but sir, what about all these lives? Doesn't matter. We got to get him on the staff. He knows James Corden. we got to hire that dude. Now, I don't know, but somebody's going to hire him.
Yeah, it's like how much money did he, despite all the publicity and whatnot, how much did he make? How much money did he generate for the company?
I know.
That's bottom line, all that matters.
That's really it, which is sucks, but yeah, that's really it. And so that's what'll happen, but... Yeah. And then you kind of wonder, will that follow, you know? Will all the negative that he generated as far as not money or revenue, but all the negative in the sense of the harassments and all these other things that were going on, will that follow him there? In other words, will it start to happen there? Or was it just something where it happened at his company and he let it slide? You know, or will he move to another company? It starts happening there because I don't necessarily know. Like he did some horrible things, but I don't think any of it was. I don't think he actually did any of the harassment stuff. I just think he swept a lot of it under the rug.
So you say it's one of those it happened under your watch type deals? Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
But you did nothing about it.
But you did nothing about it,
right?
Yeah.
You actively tried to hide it. So, I don't know. I have no idea if that's going to follow him there, and it's just going to bloom back. Who cares, though? When that comes around, then we'll worry about it. Because first off, he's got to get out of this job, and then secondly, he's got to get hired by somebody else. More than likely, I would imagine, it's probably some extension of a non-compete that he has, where it's like, all right, you can't work for another video game company for like 2 years.
I'm about to say if he gets into something that's not involved in entertainment in general.
Possibly.
There probably would be something that goes under the radar if that's the case.
Yeah, that or maybe even mobile gaming, which may not have been part of the stipulation. I'm not sure. It could be gaming in general. I don't necessarily know if gaming's like his bread and butter. You know, I don't know much about him beyond the Activision part of things.
No, it's usually not. I mean, it's usually just
business.
It's a product.
Yeah.
It's a product we're selling.
Mm-hmm.
It could be from video games to pharmacy to clothing to whatever. It's a product, and my job is to sell it. I can sell it.
Musk will hire him. yeah, fitting. We already covered the Destiny 2 thing with the Bungie situation. There was no, I saved the story here because I was going to go into it, but when Thar was like, hey, did you get unbanned? I was like, here we go. Let me just jump in and tell you, nope, I did not. So yeah, there was that. What else do we have here? Rocket League came under some fire here recently. Not necessarily Rocket League, but the owners of Rocket League, which is Epic Games. The community really not happy about a controversial decision to remove item trading. Epic Games and the developer announced their intention to remove player-to-player trading from the game Rocket League. That goes into effect on December of this year, insisting the decision had to do with bringing Rocket League in line with its wider policy around item shops. We're making this change to align with Epic's overall approach to game cosmetics and item shop policies where items aren't tradable, transferable, or sellable. This opens up future plans for some Rocket League vehicles to come to other Epic games over time, supporting cross-game ownership. Psyonix said the trade-in system for core items, tournament items, and blueprints will let players continue trading duplicates or unwanted items to receive a random new item of higher rarity. And players will not lose any previously traded items when player-to-player trading is removed. In the same announcement, Psyonix issued a warning to those who may consider using fraudulent third-party trading websites or servers. They said, after December 5th, this is their quote, after December 5th, there will be no way to trade items with any player or between accounts. Websites or servers advertising such services are fraudulent and have no connection to Epic Games or Psyonix. Other people came. I don't understand this one. I don't know about the economy for Rocket League. I don't know how any of that stuff works, but this says, what if you lent an item to someone? These actions are not supported by Psyonix, and all trades are considered final. Our support team cannot help reverse trades. Hmm. I don't know about lending somebody. I don't understand. Maybe somebody was going to be participating in a tournament and they really wanted something to look good, so you could trade a skin so that they could participate, and then they could trade it back to you. Or I don't know.
How that works. My initial thought is that someone made some money off of this thing and they didn't get their cut, so this happens.
That's a good point. The statement sparked an angry backlash from the Rocket League community, with some pointing out achievements that require trading will become impossible to obtain. Epic Games came under fire across social media, and in particular on the Rocket League subreddit, which is packed with threads from players expressing their dismay. They can't add a metric ton of items to the game and then remove trading. What if you want something obscure? Wait for a billion years for it to show up in the item shop? Yeah, I know, money. This right here is the main reason I'm hating it. Apart from almost every item from there on being multiplied in price by a factor of 5, 10, 20, 50, and so on, absolute disgrace, and what a way to upset the majority of the community. What an idiotic thing to do. Your community is already clearly dying, and instead of improving the game, you go after trading. How to kill your game even more. Just sad what this game has been through since Epic took over. Without trading, outside of free drops and free Rocket Pass, there is no way to get items without buying credits. They're trying to get people to use the item shop, and they're trying to force people to buy credits if they want any decent items. A petition was set up, and it's already well on its way to a target of 5,000 signatures. Good luck on petitions. They rarely work.
Besides, I'm thinking the items, are they purely cosmetic?
I believe so.
Because if that's the case.
I believe they're all I don't think there's anything that is game advantage type thing.
Nothing that nothing that alters your ability to play the game. So
I don't think there's absolutely any pay to win at all.
Yeah, so if that's the case, just leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't buy anything cosmetic.
Very likely.
Yeah.
It's really, really weird. I'm not a Rocket League player, and I've tried it. I'm just not really good at it. But I'm not a Rocket League player, and I definitely have not used the in-game economy trade system or whatever. So I don't know how bad this is.
Yeah, I think I played it before. I played it a bit before the acquisition. And, it was a good time playing with physics. If you could catch that ball in midair and jettison it toward the toward the goal with the right angle.
I'm also not a cosmetic guy, you know?
Yeah.
I'm really not that sort of. I don't care if I can, without having to go through like the store. I'll customize my vehicle, but once I've customized it, I'm good.
Yeah.
Outside of them throwing like a DeLorean skin in the thing, which they've done.
They've done tons of.
I know.
Popular vehicles in the game,
exactly, a Batmobile and things like that. Yep. I totally get that, and that's really cool, but I rarely care about the cosmetics of the car I'm driving.
Mm-hmm.
I rarely, rarely care about that. In Destiny, I really didn't care about a lot of cosmetics there, but I had an excess amount of the free in-game currency, the Bright Dust, which is what it was. I had an insane amount of that. And so, sure, if something came up that I was interested in, I'd buy it. But I wasn't spending any money to actually do it. If it came down to actually spending money, I pass.
Yeah.
I would not do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a cosmetic dude.
Yeah.
I really, really am. It's not a thing for me.
Yeah. But this whole thing, just solidifies what we were talking about earlier about, maximizing profit for the game. So DLC, cosmetics, things of that nature. And now in this case, limiting the ability of players to go outside of your game to actually get what they want.
Yeah, it seems like it's, hey, there's a piece of the pie there that we ain't getting.
Yeah.
You know, which actually there isn't because it's trade. So
yeah, it's
nobody,
trade, so yeah.
Now, outside of them setting up their own thing, like digital movie codes. Remember, you know, that's stuff you'd send to me?
Mm-hmm.
On the forums on some of these movie sites and stuff.
Yeah.
Excuse me. They would list those codes and sell those off.
Mm.
Be it for $5-$7 usually, mm-hmm. you know, for a digital code for whatever film released.
Yeah.
It depends on what it was as to what it cost, but tops was always 10, never really went above 10.
Mm-hmm.
10 was like the most you would pay to get a digital version copy of whatever the movie was.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times, 5-7. Mm-hmm. Like if I wanted to go find the 4K edition of digital 4K edition of Beetlejuice,
mm-hmm.
That would run like $5, you know. Somebody would sell the code, here it is, $5. Given how long it's been since that thing's been out, it's probably even less than that. With somebody able to sell it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also spooky season, so that movie's going to be on sale anyway. If you just go into one of the digital stores, it's already going to be
on
sale.
Yeah.
But my point being is, like, that's how they would do that. I imagine there's probably sites out there where it's like, I've got this skin, I'll trade with you, but you've got to give me, PayPal me money. There mm-hmm. was no regulation. In other words, this was between you and that other person.
Yeah.
Now, you could leave feedback and say, I traded with this dude and he was great. Or you could come back and say, this guy did not give, I gave him my money. He did not give me my item.
Probably, you know, did not come as advertised.
Right, and
yeah.
kind of blacklist his name among that community that was using it, but it was not regulated whatsoever.
Yeah.
At all. So, and I imagine it's probably like this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably saw that and they're like, yeah, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's you know, because Rocket League's been around for how long?
A minute. Been around for a minute.
I was still going to E3 when this thing was happening.
Yep.
So it's going back to 2015, 2014.
Yeah.
2016.
Good. July 7th, 2015.
Look at me.
And your memory's bad, right?
It is. It really is.
Okay.
But I do know I do know when I stopped going to E3.
Yeah.
Like a good round number there is 2015 for me. Is like mm-hmm. I was there for that year, but I don't think I went after that. So it's been around since 2015, and only now are they like, let's change this. There's no point to change that outside of money. And that one comment that dude left saying, like, this game's already dying and now you're screwing this up. So that's kind of a hint of, like, well, the game's kind of dying and we're not making revenue. Let's start selling skins. Maybe that will help us to generate that revenue that we're losing because people aren't buying the game anymore. They've got a base, you know. Rocket League has got a base of players.
Yeah.
A good foundation of a base of players. Are they bringing in new players? Maybe not. But are the old players leaving? Probably not either. They're still playing that game, still doing tournaments, still doing, you know, whatever it is you do with a game like that. So, money. It all comes back to the big green. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we will jump into more news. We've got, I want to talk about Steam Next Fest. I want to talk about Disney as well. Those Animal Crossing Lego sets, we got announcements on what they actually are.
Mm.
And Unity, we haven't talked about as well. And then there's other stuff in there. the RoboCop demo. I've heard the RoboCop thing is not bad. I've heard it's actually kind of good.
Yeah.
So I've downloaded the demo on Steam. Mm-hmm. I haven't played it yet, but I've downloaded the demo. We'll be back with more of Endgame Chat right after this. Music from Fable. Again, not a scary game, but it's got a part in there called, well, it's got a track in there called Lynch, or not Lynch, it's Lickfield Cemetery.
L-Y-C-H?
It's L-Y-C-H. Unless I spelled it wrong and left the N off.
Lynchfield or Litchfield?
It's just L-Y-C-H field, you know?
Litchfield.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a cemetery. It's spooky. Here's the music. We'll be right back. Back to in-game chat. That is music from Silent Realm. I think it's called Guardian Chase, or it's a theme or something. Yeah. So, Silent Realm. Chase music in games, especially in scary games, is always pretty good for the for this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any, like, is completely off topic.
Okay.
Do you have... So, when, you know, Christmas rolls around, people are like, oh yeah, Christmas, I always watch blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween rolls around. Do you have any...
Halloween?
Yeah.
Tradition? No.
Like a tradition of, like, every Halloween or every month of October, I always watch this movie.
No.
I mean, Rocky Horror is the go-to for a lot of people.
Yeah, I actually don't. Actually, I treat... Entertainment-wise, I treat Halloween as any other day. I really don't do anything.
Well, not just necessarily that day, but just the month. Kind of like we do for Christmas movies in December. And I don't even know if you do that in December. You, personally, I have no idea if you do that. All right. So you're just doing your thing.
Yeah. Just whatever comes on, comes on. Yeah.
AC Wraith says Hocus Pocus is a biggie for him. So I had never...
Bette Midler?
Huh?
Bette Midler?
Yeah. That,
okay.
Yeah. I had never seen Hocus Pocus until, when was it? It was, God, see, here's where my memory gets me.
Mm-hmm.
Was this after 2020 or just before 2020? Regardless, it was within, like, either 2018 to now, to maybe even last year or the year before, and had never seen it. And I think it was either on Disney Plus or I had the digital copy because I had bought the Steelbook version of the movie. Mm-hmm. And so, again, a movie I hadn't seen, but there was a Steelbook of it. And it was a really cool-looking Steelbook, too. So I got it and tried to watch it. And I was like, this is not working. But I'd heard so much, man. Yeah, I had heard everybody was like, oh, it's Hocus Pocus. And then they did the sequel and everything else. And it's like, oh, it's Hocus Pocus. It didn't work for me. I could not finish.
Hey, but
I don't even know if I got halfway, but I couldn't finish.
But you gave it a shot, though, right?
I mean, yeah, of course, because I had heard a lot of stuff about it, but it just didn't hold for me.
I think for me,
I don't know why.
The witches, Angelica Houston.
Oh yeah,
that one. I think I've watched that one before.
Yeah.
It was just Halloween was just on, and I was like,
that was one they did the remake of recently. Zemeckis, I guess, or whatever. It was a movie that came out during the pandemic or almost closer to the pandemic, and they released it at home instead of in theaters.
Yeah, I think
because they were all rats.
Yeah, I think it was one of those.
Where they turned kids into rats.
I think it was one of those remakes that made me appreciate the original more.
Yeah,
that type of thing.
Yeah. No, I remember that. I remember that a lot. That and then Witches of Eastwick, and then there was I don't know, a lot of old stuff. But
yeah,
I was just curious if you had anything, and I'm looking in the thing to see if anybody else has anything. I was thinking I'll probably go back to some of my classics because I haven't watched those in a while, like my Frankensteins, my Brides, my Invisible Mans.
Hmm.
My Dr. Jekylls and my Wolfman and the Mummy. So yeah, and Dracula.
Okay. Yeah.
I got a lot of those.
In terms of scary,
Didn't have to be scary.
None of those did it for me. I think.
Oh, the classic monster films?
No.
They were just really, really the makeup effects and some of the effects they were trying to pull off. There's some great shots, and not only. There's some great shots in Frankenstein itself, but in Bride, there's some fantastic shots of how they did scale and how they did, especially with exteriors and things like this. Really, really good. Mm-hmm. Just to go back to that old way of making those films where they had to really be creative on how they had to figure out to get this shot.
That's true because
it was all practical.
It was all practical. You didn't have those technical aspects to help you out. You had to know what you were doing back there.
Bama Brian just brought up something I can watch because I am an Apple Plus subscriber, but Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. I haven't watched that in a while. So yeah, that's got to be that. The other things that I was thinking about was Halloween, which is great. But the Muppet Haunted Mansion on the Disney Plus is one I watched it the first year it came out, and then I watched it again last year, and I'm thinking, I'll make that tradition. I'll probably watch that again this year. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was just thinking about it.
Yeah. I was about to say, in terms of scary stuff, I would always go with the Hitchcock's The Birds.
That's good. Yeah, Psycho. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of The Shining. Like it may not, but Halloween just elicits that fall feeling, like that time of year matches. It's kind of like, you know how I would play games that match the time of year?
Yeah.
That's what I loved about some of the Batman games. Batman game that took place on Halloween, even though it was supposed to release around that time, it got delayed. But then Arkham Origins. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it Arkham Origins that released? It went from Christmas. It was Christmas Eve.
I think it was.
Arkham Origins? Origins?
Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah, it is, because that's one of my favorite soundtracks.
Yeah.
Which we'll do that come December as well. We'll start hitting up the Christmas music. Maybe a couple of weeks in advance on that, because I remember we used to save it for the show before Christmas, but I think we'll probably, we may expand a little bit. Because I think we have the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so anyway, just a little divergent topic of conversation because that's how my brain works. Steam Next Fest, which is going on right now. There's probably a ton of demos that you can try. They give a list here on, what am I looking at, VG247. A game called Enshrouded, which is a survival and exploration game there. What else do we have? Ghost Runner 2 has a demo available. Shadow Gambit, The Cursed Crew has a demo available. Pioneers of Pagonia. It is a medieval fantasy city builder. I got an expanded press code for the demo. So that's one I'm going to put some time into.
Mm-hmm.
I saw where it was like a city builder, and I was like, oh, I'm in.
Yep.
So
that's right up your alley.
Totally. Solium Infernum, which doesn't come out until next year, but you can do that now. You can demo it now. Talos Principle 2, definitely. If you like Talos Principle 1, give that a shot. We talked about it last week, but I did not spoil anything. You're going to play it, and you're going to get through that first section thinking, hey, it's more Talos Principle. But when you get done with that first section, hey, what the hell is this? This is not like the first Talos Principle. So, yeah, just be prepared for that. It's a lot of fun. I'm actually not being sarcastic in this. I was really wowed and excited to see that they decided that, yes, we can give you more Talos Principle, but we can also expand your experience of Talos Principle, and they really have, to the point that it's exciting to wonder where they're going to go with this. Wizard with a Gun. Try that out if you can. And then we talked about Enshrouded, a co-op survival action RPG for up to 16 players. What else do we have? A game called Cats on Duty, which is a humorous-looking RTS tower defense and match 3 game. Jesus, that's a lot. Cat Tales Wildwood Story, which is a cozy life sim RPG. Guess what? You become a cat.
Mm.
Of course. Zoo Simulator is out there. And then a demo for My Horse, Bonded Spirits. In it, you build a bond with your horse, complete tasks, and try to rebuild a rundown stud farm. Weko the Mask Gatherer is another demo for you. A pixel art text adventure game called I Don't Exist, which has Zork-like aspects. Remember Zork? Zork was a text-based... Like, it was very much a descriptive thing. Okay. You come to a fork in the road. Left, you see a house off in the distance. To the right, you see woods.
Oh, goodness.
Which way would you like to go? And you would type in left, right. You go left. Okay. You've stepped on a nail. You've got tetanus.
Yeah. Zork is a text-based adventure game first released in 1977.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Developers, released by developers Tim Anderson, Mark Blank, Bruce Daniels, and Dave Lebling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then they did something called Zork 2. They did a sequel. Let's see, what else do they have? A roguelite FPS, Soul Singer, Envoy of Death. What's else? We have classic CRPGs from the 90s and early 2000s. If you like those, then Passageway of the Ancients might be something that you'll be interested in. There's also a demo available for an action-packed arcade shooter called Jet Rider. Farm Manager World, Dragon Scale Monastery. You build a dragon sanctuary. That sounds fun. Last Train Home. That I saw at one of the E3 things.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it. I say E3, but one of those presentations. I thought it was really cool because I thought it was going to be a train management thing, not where you manage the train, but you manage the resources of all the different cars in the train, like the kitchen and... The engine room and all these, like, you're gonna manage all this stuff as it's going down the thing. It was not like that. That aspects of that are there,
mm-hmm.
but so are aspects of when you get off the train and you go through towns and talk to people. Like, I don't want that. It's a war thing. Which still kind of intrigued me, and I may have still downloaded the demo. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have? Monolith, Requiem of the Ancients, Songs of Silence as well. Karma Zoo is Devolver Digital, and those are always pretty safe bets on maybe being something fun. There is a lot of these games that are available to you. I can't go over all of them. There's too many of them. I'm looking for anything that sticks out. Deadly Rain, a survivor horror FPS. That's something else there for you. So... yeah, just check out the Steam Next Fest. There are a lot of demos for you to try. One of those being RoboCop, Rogue City. The thing is like 100... Oh, no. It was 160 gigs. But then that got changed to about 34. People speculate that apparently you downloaded the entire game. But only got to play a certain section of it. But they, yeah, so it got fixed.
Yeah.
They patched that out.
Oops.
The game is set between the events of RoboCop 2 and RoboCop 3. Rogue City feels rather... the original 1987 movie is an all-time classic piece of satire. Its deadpan, ultraviolet depiction of police brutality woefully misunderstood for the last 35 years, including by its own sequels. A first-person shooter RPG is a concerning prospect. Yet, on playing this deeply peculiar game, I'm still not entirely sure which way it's leaning. It's immediately visually impressive, with meticulously detailed grimy streets, reflective puddles, and a very shiny robo-helmet. It's then immediately contradicted by low-poly faces on other characters. I agree on this one. I watched IGN play it. It's then by low-poly characters and some absolutely dreadful lip-syncing. That is also correct. Oh, it was bad. Combined with the flattest acting I have seen in forever. I agree, but... Yeah, I don't know, man. Peter Weller? Oh, he came back to voice RoboCop, I guess. Or Murph. He's 76 years old. Wow. He delivers his very many lines like a man reading a shopping list over the phone, giving the entire affair a very uncanny feeling. It's the right voice, but it's also not the right voice. The demo is enormous. I've had to stop playing in order to write this before I run out of daylight. It's also not exactly good. It's not terrible at all. And as a shooter, you get to stomp about blowing off punks' heads with satisfying weapons. But there's also not a single thing about it that's impressive. Enemies just stand still while you shoot them, occasionally throwing tiresome grenades at you, giving the whole thing the feeling of a particularly spiteful target range. RoboCop takes damage unless it's a cutscene when the bullets just bounce off him. This is what we've referred to as a story bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can take gunfire all day with med packs and everything, but in the cinematic, you take the one bullet that's like, uh-oh, our hero's in trouble. You know?
Yeah.
Or our sidekick who got through all of this stuff as well is now in trouble and we have to save them. So it's one of those situations. It's called the story bullet. And that's exactly what that is. You do take damage unless it's a cutscene and then you're bulletproof. The demo gives you an opening mission, then has you literally doing paperwork at police headquarters before setting you out into its own semi-open world. Here you're given a main quest to follow, but a surprising number of side quests pop up, one involving solving a murder by visiting various areas of the city, another by recovering a stolen car. It's an awful lot of game for a demo. The main plot is unwieldy and meandering story about drug dealers. You know what? Maybe I'm not going to play this. It suggests a game with a lot of scale, but very little scope. Huh. Interesting. If your internet is limited, it's fairly safe to say don't be wasting almost 150 gigs on this. They've put it back down to 30, so don't worry about that. Your move, creep. Yep. There's that as well. Disney, we just found out this week, a new report from Bloomberg delved into what recent times have been like behind the scenes over at Disney, detailing enough corporate intrigue in large numbers to fuel an entire series of Succession. Let's see. Tales of how the film and TV-focused arm of the businesses are faring. The feature claims that some of its executives have suggested to Bob Iger the idea of a bolder transformation of Disney's status in the games industry, being making a big acquisition. In terms of which publishers could be the target for such a purchase, the report mentions a rather big one. Electronic Arts, EA Games, as an example of the kind of firm Disney would possibly be looking at. That's huge. I would be interested to know just how much you could buy EA for. I know it's probably a bidding war type of thing, but I'm very curious as to, like, what would the price of EA be? Having gone off the Activision Blizzard purchase that just took place for like 60-some-odd billion dollars.
Yeah.
Does EA, are they a company at that level?
I'm trying to think of the biggest titles they've got, and it's sports titles.
It's sports titles.
And that, and we've said before, the sports titles are not the most that have the most staying power, really. I mean, but people religiously buy it every year.
Yeah, but they've also got Apex Legends. Yeah. They've also got these Star Wars Rogue or Star Wars Fallen Survive, whatever it is. They got some Star Wars properties in there. Now Disney already owns a Star Wars property, yeah. So it wouldn't, yeah. You know, it's not going to really be a huge get.
Basically, I don't see EA as big as
So you think their price would be lower?
Their price would be lower. I don't see them as big as Activision, but I don't see.
I mean, Need for Speed franchise, SimCity franchise. There's Wing Commander in there. I'm just going over. I'm in my brain. I'm looking at stuff. I mean, obviously, Titanfall. There's Medal of Honor series, which is their Call of Duty, I guess.
I mean, I hear the titles you're saying, but none of them just for me anyway. It doesn't just stick out as something. As something to get to that level that Activision Blizzard did.
It's also important to note that this report stresses that Bob Iger has been non-committal regarding such proposals to this point. Whether or not believe that it's a good thing is up to you, but given just how many instances of layoffs and studio shutterings that have taken place this past year under the banners of some of gaming's largest fish, perhaps it's not worth cheering every time your favorite corporate entity whips out its checkbook. After all, between its own rounds of layoffs and the occasional sudden change to how developers are charged for the use of engines like Unity, life in the industry's indie space isn't the most stress-free either right now. Regardless of how you feel about the current state of the medium, it's worth checking out EA Sports FC. Single large sums of money are just never thrown around willy-nilly in the world of football. And that's what EA has. You mentioned the sports.
Yeah, the sports
titles. Sporting
titles. And what I'm hearing, they're not doing too good with their NFL.
With their sports titles, you're right.
Yeah, the NFL franchise.
I think the Migraine Sam says EA isn't anything. Market cap, 35, I'll just say $36 billion, just a round up. Mm-hmm. And he's actually shocked that it's that high. So.
Yeah,
I can't think of like mega franchises off of them, which is odd because I feel like there was a time I could.
Yeah, you know the name of EA. Yeah. You know Electronic Arts, but when I think of EA, I think of Madden and FIFA. I literally couldn't think of any other titles in there. Other than the wrestling titles, the Fight for New York, Def Jam Vendetta.
Oh, Def Jam, yeah.
Those games were awesome. That's how we got into the talk about the music licensing that hampered any remake of that game.
Those two games were
good. Fight for New York was top tier.
That was good, dude.
Top tier back in the day.
Oh, I remember that. Def Jam Vendetta and Def Jam Fight for New York. They did a third one that was horrible.
Yeah. We try to forget that one.
But those first two, man, that's good.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if it was a sequel. I think it was like it got released on Xbox and then they ported it over to maybe the PlayStation, or it could be vice versa, but they added some stuff to it.
Vendetta or Fight for New York?
I want to say it was that. I want to say Vendetta was like the first.
Vendetta was the first one. Fight for New York came out. And then Icon came out.
Was that three?
Icon was the one that we... that was a bad one.
We don't talk about Icon.
My apologies. I'm sorry to bring up bad history, but yeah.
See, that's the thing that EA has. EA's got NFL, NHL, FIFA, UFC, PGA. They've got all of those. And I don't know how long they're going to be able to keep those.
Well, they're banking all their money with the NFL. They keep extended that exclusivity deal, and that's why their games, in my opinion, that's why their football, their NFL games are just bad, because there's no competition to force them to do better.
Well... Disney, I don't know. That's a thing. Disney, I don't see Disney buying EA, but that was, you know, the rumor, the talk, the whatever that the report came out. So, what else do we have? Yeah, we're running short on time, so I want to hit some of these very quickly. Later on this month, you're going to be able to buy a PlayStation 5 Slim, although The digital edition of the PlayStation 5 is going to go up in price by $50. The slim version, and you'll have a slim version of the digital and a slim version of the disc version. They're still gigantic. In other words, when you pull these things out of the box, you're still going to be like, wow, that's bigger than I thought. The box is there to contain the console, and so but it still shocks you to pull this console out of a box. Mm-hmm. The box is big, right? It's got to hold the console. So you're like, well, the thing's got to be somewhere around in this size. But when you actually get it out, that thing's huge.
They've maximized the space that this box is.
It really does. Yeah. It really does. They also said that this is going to be the case from now on. When the current inventory of the fats, we'll call them, are sold, that's it. They're gone. It'll just be the slims on the market. So
now it's a collectible.
Yeah, if you want to call it that. I don't necessarily know they ever made any money off of those, with the exception there have been. Mm-hmm. Some of those specially themed ones?
Yeah.
Yes, there have. So what are we getting from the Lego stuff? We're getting Nook's Cranny and Rosie's House. We're getting Isabella's House. And we're getting Captain's Island Boat Tour and Bunny's Outdoor Activities, Julian's Birthday Party. Those are the sets. Nook's Cranny would be about the only one I'm interested in that at all.
Is it a huge one?
It's not very big at all.
Okay.
No. A little small. Like, you could buy all the sets and do a nice little diorama type thing or a nice little village thing. Okay. You'd be fine. We didn't get to the Unity news, but basically the CEO of Unity, John Risatello or whatever his name is, the guy who used to run EA, he stepped down. He resigned immediately after that whole backlash. Which was kind of nice to see. Normally they hang out, Bobby. But nope, not John. He's like, I just screwed up. I'm going to go away. And that's exactly what he did. So good on you for doing that there, John. I think that's going to wrap it up for us. We will, I think so. I think we got it all in. As much as we could to get it all in there. So, yeah. Anyway, RJ, thanks again.
No problem.
Coming in. Thank you, Chris, for calling in and doing the Discord thing. We do appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for watching the show, tuning in. We appreciate it every single week when you do it. Even if all you're doing is leaving the radio on and listening to it, we still appreciate that you're there. So thank you. Go to ingamechat.net to see all of our links where you can join us on Twitter and Facebook. And you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can join us on Discord. All of that stuff. We want to say thank you again. Have a great week, and we will see you next Saturday. Music here. This is just called Cog in the Machine. Oh, I'm trying to remember what game it was from, and I've already forgotten. But that's the name of the track. We'll see you next Saturday.